All right, y'all, it's the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast.
Here we are again for another installment of the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We've got some technical difficulties today, if that's what you want.
Not technical difficulties.
human difficulties.
Human difficulties. Yeah, personnel difficulties.
Personnel difficulties. Yes, that one will work. So we're supposed to have Buddy Black on today. He is also known as the Gallbladder Guru. We've had him on once before. And today we were going to discuss the meat eater diet. He has been doing the carnivore diet and he has not yet arrived. So we're gonna go ahead without him. We're also sans Jared today. So we're gonna roll.
You using fancy words.
Yeah, we're gonna roll and see what happens, see if they end up joining us here shortly. But until then, we'll figure it out. Like Justin always loves to say, we're gonna fly by the seat of our pants. Ain't that right, buddy?
Fly by the seat of our pants. That's right. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, so not a whole heck of a lot on the agenda other than the meat eater diet.
Let me hurt my heart right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where you're heading with that.
Go Phillies, go.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Ouch. Well, you have to.
Ouch.
You have to hurt your heart in that aspect because it's already been broken by your Mets.
Yeah, and I'm kind of pulling for the Padres too. So there's that.
Yeah, well, if the Braves lose, I'll pull for the Padres. How about that? How about that? But good Lord, they went off last night, didn't they? The Phillies.
Yeah.
I checked the score, and they had that 6-run third inning, and I was like,
That 5-day layoff might have hurt the Braves more than...
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you're right, too, because that was my first thought after game one. But if they could get back into the swing of things, they can turn it around. They've done this before where they've come from behind and taken the series.
It's only best of five.
I know. They have to win the next two. That's okay.
And y'all are down, 2-1 right now, right?
Mm-hmm. We got to win the next two, man.
And the Padres are up 2-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So let's go Phillies.
I know you were going to say that. And you know what? That onslaught came out of nowhere because Spencer Strider was the starter, wasn't he?
Yeah, that made it even better for me.
Yeah.
I don't like him. He's like the John Rocker now.
Yeah. Okay, so we are back on track, guys. We are on track. We have our guest, our man of the hour, popped on in. So we're going to bring him in here and introduce this man once again for you guys who have not seen the last episode we had him on. This is Buddy Black, also known as the Gallbladder Guru. It's been a while, buddy. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys? Glad to see your stream up and running, man. I enjoy the hell out of this stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And like I said to you earlier today, since we started doing the live streams, it's taken off a little bit and it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy having it live and getting the live reactions, live comments, not live questions and all that.
And now I don't have to sit next to your smelly ass every week.
Yeah, too. I know.
Yeah, you know what?
The goal one day though is to have enough success with this to actually get our own studio, you know, maybe, you know, hopes and dreams.
Yeah, you can build, you do like everybody else, build your own as you go.
Yeah, we're trying. Yeah. So how you been, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic, man. I have a full weekend this weekend, a full weekend off, I should say. I worked the last two Saturdays, get a little overtime in, so I was happy to be able to sleep in a tiny bit today. So that made me happy. And we're hoping to have a campfire tonight, enjoy the weather, but Justin pointed out to me a little while ago, it's a little windy, so we don't know. We'll see.
No. It's windy as fuck.
Yeah, so we'll see. I want to have a campfire because I love this time of year, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Yeah, you can do it. Just I definitely, like right now, we're under a burn ban, so there's no way in hell we're doing. We can't even do backyard stuff. I guess you could, but man, it'd be hard for your fire pits and stuff as much as it's flipping around right now.
For sure. So since we last talked, man, you have adopted the carnivore diet, correct?
Yep. I did. I did. Let's see. How do I say this? He just wanted to tell you, I got deep in the DNA. We talked about that last time.
Right.
That led me to another company because the DNA that I had found what was really, really intriguing with me was even though I thought I felt good, I wasn't 100%. There was something off, but I couldn't figure out what it was. But I am a madman when it comes to journaling and stuff. So I'm using Chronometer. I'm using my Fitness Pal and then literally freaking, you know, hey, notes, whatever it takes. Right.
Right.
Trying to figure this, you know, biohack for a lot of people would call it that, you know, just trying to figure out what's going on. And I found that when I ate certain vegetables, I didn't feel well. Broccoli, cauliflower, you know, deep leafy greens, spinach. I love freaking spinach, you know. And so in the middle of this, talking to my nutritionist, and, you know, it was basically when we pulled up the DNA, we did a deep dive on the DNA, went to another company. I saw an actual company called the DNA Company. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Out of Canada. What was really intriguing about that test was there's like 23andMe and Ancestry. We've heard of those and they can help you. You can take that data, upload it to Prometheus and get a freaking massive, massive report about your DNA. But you got to have somebody explain it to you. You can get a shitload of knowledge on, you know, literally, no pun intended, a shitload or not, but you've got to figure out, okay, what does this mean? And what intrigued me about the DNA Company is they've built a computer algorithm that does just that. That says, oh, you've got the MTHFR gene. A lot of us, we've heard that MTHFR. And so everybody hears it and it's got this real bad, you know, kind of negative context to it, the MTHFR. Because it's what gives me mast cell. It gives me other issues. Well, it's not exactly correct, as in I've got it, but I've got it in two places. But I've also got MTRR, COMT. That means absolutely nothing to you guys. But what it amounts to is there's a lot of different genetic SNPs. And when you put them in the right place, all hell breaks loose. And it's like you can change one variable and it won't do much. Two, it doesn't do much. But when you have all the genetic SNPs in this certain like zipper lineage, it's like, hey, you know what? And for me, I happen to be one of the lucky ones. It said, you need to watch out. You've got a 60% chance or more of having a life-altering arteriosclerosis heart moment in your lifetime.
Oh, wow.
So I've got to harden the arteries. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What do I need? So my nutritionist, I'm like, what the hell do I need to do? And he goes, well, obviously you need to stay away from anything that can do hardening of the arteries. Plus, genetically, you've got a histamine issue, a sodium issue. You've got a sugar issue. I mean, I'm highly sensitive to all those. And basically what he came back and said, look, it would be a hell of a lot easier to tell you what you can eat versus what you can't. And he said, what I would highly recommend would be do a carnivore diet. Now I'm like, I've heard of it. I know that I follow Sean Baker. He's a big YouTuber. I follow Steak and Butter Gal. That's a crazy one. I love the crap out of her. And then Kelly Hogan. I know a bunch of those guys. You know, Anthony Chafee out of New Zealand. There's in Australia. The whole idea of it is, and if you think, and I know this isn't your world, but you've heard the terminology of elimination diet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
It means eliminate everything that could have an adverse effect to you. Old school elimination diet was take everything out that comes from a plant. Because proteins, you may not like them, but they're not going to hurt you. Now, some people will say, well, I eat burgers, right this, right that, and it gives me an issue. Got to go to the deeper root cause of why it does give you an issue. You may eat beef and maybe what it's seasoned with. You may eat beef and maybe it's too fat. Okay. There's some other things there that are outliers. So at the end of the day, I cut out anything that comes from a plant. Literally, you hold it up. Where'd it come from? You know, oh, it's a piece of bread. It comes from gluten, or it comes from wheat. Wheat comes from a plant. What about a pear? It comes from a tree, which is a plant.
You know? No more steak and potatoes, huh?
Just the steak. I'm telling you, I dropped 15 pounds. My bloods are like perfect. And it was like, I'm getting ready to do what they call a calcium arterial scan to do see what my arteries are doing. Everything that everybody said is like, it's freaking awesome. But it was going back to, for me, for carnivore. And then boy, the deeper I dug into that life, I was like, damn, this lines up with my genetics. But what was really interesting is if I flipped it around, my genetics told me to go there. And it told me why I need to go there and all these other things that would be suppressed if I did. And boy, sure enough, it's just been, life altering for me. I mean, I can't believe it. It was like, it's been freaking crazy how good it's been. And people will look at it and go like, you eat nothing but meat. That's all you eat. Yeah. And a lot of fat. Yeah. So Steak and Butter Gal, she's got some experts that run with her, and she's got her own private, you know, Facebook groups, off social network groups, think Mighty Networks and some different ones like that. The only reason I bring that up is she was one of the first to talk about that I've seen that brought in a team that they analyze everything that you're doing, but they talk about how we don't eat enough fat. Male or female, doesn't matter. We don't eat enough fat. And you got to get out of the head, fat makes us fat.
Right, like that's an important part of the diet, isn't it?
I've heard this before.
Okay, Steak and Butter Gal, she has a lady that operates with her named Dr. Elizabeth Bright, B-R-I-G-H-T, out of Italy. She's hundreds and hundreds of patients, probably thousands. Number one requisite, you got to eat a stick of butter a day. A stick. And let me tell you.
Like a candy bar.
Hey, I can eat. I've become fat adapted. I can put it in the freezer and I can sit there and take a third and just sit there and gnaw on it. And it's so freaking good. It's crazy. But I will tell you what's a weird thing. And to help me along the way, that I thought was so fantastic. Obviously, we all we're addicted to sugars or carbs or something of that nature. And they're like, how do you beat that? And one of her coaches said, hey, the first time you have a sugar craving, go grab you a cold block of butter, cut you off a teaspoon or a tablespoon, one little, you know, like a stick of butter, just cut you off like you would put on a piece of toast. Put it on your tongue and let it melt and eat it. That fast, your sugar craving is gone. It's the weirdest freaking thing you've ever seen in your life. And I was like, that's just like crazy. Yeah. Can you hear my dog?
Yeah, I hope not. My dog's going crazy in the background, but I'm hoping with this nice microphone, you can't hear it.
I don't hear it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So anyway, it's one of those things that we don't eat near enough fat for our diet, and our brain needs fat, our hormone structure needs fats, and there's just a lot of things that people, and when you start listening, and a lot of this is anecdotal, but you still have to look at when you have thousands of people in a Facebook group or some other type of group, you put them all together and it's the same story, you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like grassroots, right? Put it out there.
For the longest time, you know, carnivore diets and just red meat, eating red meat in general has had such a negative connotation. Like it's always said to be a bad thing for you. You know, people always say, don't eat too much red meat. It's not good for your gut. It's really fatty. It'll make you gain weight and stuff like that. What do you say to people that say that stuff?
First thing I tell them is go look at Dr. Sean Baker. He's been doing it for 13 years. Look him up. One of y'all Google him real quick. Look at him. He's my age. He's a little bit younger than me. He holds the world record in rowing. He's beefy as hell. He eats about 2 pounds of meat a day or more.
50 plus. Let me see. I'll bring this up.
Dr. Sean Baker. He's pretty cool. Look, you want to pull this? You find him?
Yeah, I found him. I found him. He's definitely cut.
You want to get one worse? He's your age. This guy's. Look up Dr. Anthony Chaffee. Chaffee. This guy's y'all's age or younger. And he's a neurosurgeon. Yeah, there's Dr. Sean Baker.
This guy's Dr. Sean Baker. Yeah. And he's on the carnivore diet as well.
Hey, see the middle picture? Move your cursor. Move your cursor over. Right. That one? No, right. Keep going to the right. Right there. That's him and Dr. Anthony Chaffee. Look at those guys. They eat nothing but meat all the
carnivore
the time.
Diet revolution.
High fat. They eat high fat, high protein. I say moderate protein. They're just freaking ripped. They're ripped. And it's like, okay, these guys have been doing it for a while, but here's what's important to both of those and why I stand behind them. There's a lot of other people following this, but those two guys right there, both of them are freaking badass doctors who looked at facts, not anecdotal. They looked at facts, and the facts have led them. How do we get this message out to people? And one of the things that Dr. Anthony Chaffee, after what I experienced, I found these guys. So I was having all these issues. I've got all these notes. I'm giving them to my nutritionist. Hey, when I eat spinach, this happens. When I eat onions, this happens. When I eat garlic, tomatoes, corn, when I eat these things, this happens. But when I don't, nothing happens. My digestion's quiet. And that's when my nutritionist turned me on to these guys. But what we got, the first episode I saw Dr. Anthony Chaffee, he was telling the story of one of his professors said, plants are trying to kill you. Oh, and I'm really? Like, what the hell? But here's an interesting, so I'm just trying to bring all this together in Buddy's mind, right? And it's, that's all I can do is just try to figure this shit out.
No worries, because this is all interesting and I want to hear all of it.
Well, so years ago, I had a fertilizer company called Organic Grow, and we made poultry litter into fertilizer. I've got patents on the stuff and all that. And hey, Faye, she's over in the UK. She's trying to get rid of her GERD, but she's dealing with some other stuff as well. But what I was going to say is, so in the middle of that, I had horticulturalists on board, our whole team. We had a major, major team. And when the economic downturn hit, we just shut it down and walked away. But nevertheless, there's a lot of knowledge in there. But part of being in the farming industry and the ag industry, also horticulture for lawns and gardens and all that kind of stuff. One of the interesting things I thought was so truly interesting was we had an agronomist, and this agronomist was talking about this very topic, and this was 05. He said, do you realize that when you lay down on the grass and you get up and you're itchy, that's the grass trying to tell you, get the hell off of me. That's its defense mechanism. He said, do you realize when you go pick tomatoes in your garden and you've got short sleeves on and you itch, or you take care of your garden and you're itching, that's the only defense mechanism for plants, is to make you itch or to make you sick. And I was like, what the hell is this voodoo crap you're talking about? And then what Anthony brought to the table was, even though it's minuscule, every plant has a mechanism of defense because that's its only way to survive. if you find animals in the wild that love blackberries, right? Blackberries have done what? They've put thorns on themselves, so only a few birds and stuff like that can eat them because they're very tasty, and if everything could eat them, they wouldn't be there. The plant would die.
No way to pass on the seeds, yeah.
Right, and so when you think about how nature works, the fruits that really and truthfully they claim that you could eat, but you got to watch it because they put out so much sugar, or your sweet stuff, like your oranges and your apples. But if you think about it, oranges and apples today that you and I know is not the true orange and apple of yesteryear.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot with any kind of produce you get from the grocery store, right? So since my wife is very much into gardening herself, since she started all of that, I learned about heirloom seeds, you know, yeah. And how the heirloom produce, you know, is a lot different than what you find in the store.
Absolutely.
Today. Our tomatoes that we grow in our garden, first off, taste 10 times better. Second right. off, don't look anything like the stuff in the stores. So, I mean, that's just what happens with modification over the years.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And to think about it, that happens with the different modifications. But sadly, when you look at where did it come from, but where's it going to go?
Yeah.
Right? And in the same breath, you're not going to get that with... Now, granted, you can go get farm-raised animals. You can get farm-raised whatever, you know. And like salmon, you can get it. I will say this, and this is what I've thought in my head, and I've listened to enough of these guys talk about it, is... And Dr. Ken Berry, he is a huge carnivore guy right there in Tennessee. He's close to you guys, Nashville. And he is a huge advocate, but he's nonsensical. You know, just a down-to-earth guy that's just like, you know, don't try to pull any bullshit around. Just listen to this thing. Let's make it happen. You know, and plants are trying to kill you and all that. And so... You know, he looks at it, and this is what I thought was fascinating. The best success story I can tell you to look up is Kelly Hogan. And you can look, I want you to look her up and look where she was. She was not pregnant. She couldn't get pregnant. She was severely overweight, severely obese. Kelly Hogan, it's low carb life.
Zero carb life is what I just found.
Okay. There's a before and after picture of her. That's fantastic. I mean, it's just like, holy hell. She looks like not even the same person. I mean, it's just like unreal. And when I say that, she lost a whole person when she lost weight. Yeah, go to her before and afters. So just look up her pictures. Go back to just do Kelly Hogan in a search.
Do my search and find her. Okay.
Yeah, and do images. You'll find a snapshot shows her before and after, and it's just freaking crazy. But
oh yeah, okay, here we go.
Okay, so this is what I wanted to share with you. So that's her now. That's where she was, and I mean, look at that. She's 35 now, was 35. Got pregnant, and so she's doing fantastic. But here's what I was going to tell you that I love about her story. It's not how she started, I think, is what for everybody. So like today, if somebody's like, well, where do you start? One, follow all those people. Follow me too. I'm gearing up the YouTube channel to do more than just gallbladder stuff because of what I've come into with carnivore. But for Kelly, what I thought was interesting, for the first few years of her carnivore diet, she had no idea what she was doing. But she was so obese and having so many health issues. Her old doctor at the time. So this was, she's been doing it 13 years. Her story goes that he told her, said, you've got such issues right now. You're not going to have a very good future. And you've got to make a dramatic change. And he told her, I want you to eat nothing but meat. Try that and see how that works for you. Because we've got to get your A1C down. We got to get your insulin resistance down. We got to get you heading in a different direction than what you're doing now. And she was poor and couldn't afford it. So what did she do? She literally went to McDonald's every day. Only ate hamburger patties. That's all she would eat was hamburger. And is it the best hamburger? Probably not. But for her, because she eliminated all the plant and all of that, the oxalates and the lectins and all the histamines and all the stuff that comes from the plants, because she eliminated all that, all of a sudden she started dropping weight like crazy, was able to get pregnant. She's got a very good sized family now. I think she's got 3 kids or whatever, but it was just unreal. Unfreaking real. Yeah. So Carol, low functioning gallbladder, lots of fats. Yeah. See, she's 84 years old and the doctors won't tend to her, but she's got 11% ejection fraction. I mean, that's just crazy, because that effectively means your gallbladder's working at 11%. And it needs to be between 30 and 65, 70. You know, so it's just one of those places. And the sad thing is, when you get, and that's what we've learned in the gallbladder world, not a lot of people are going to go carnivore way. You can't pre-op, because anytime you add fat to a busted gallbladder, you get cramps and issues. And I mean, just a lot of bad mojo goes on. So post-op, though, totally different ballgame. That's where I love what it makes me feel. It's perfect for me. If you really like, and what I found in my clients is if a client's like, you know what, I really like meat, that's kind of where it's like, let's go that way. Your body's already telling you, I like to eat meat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of got to listen to the cues that your body's giving you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got people that do chicken thighs and chicken breast. That's all they do. They don't do red meat. They do any kind of protein, as long as it's a protein, but you'll have to add additional fats in some way.
Chicken alone is so dry, though.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely got to cook it right.
Yeah,
but I'm glad there's so much more research going on right now with the carnivore diet and just on eating meat in general, because I love it. Like, I love meat.
so for you, Corey, the fact that you're sitting there and you love to eat meat, it would not be a hard judgment on you and a hard change.
No, not
at all. Right? And you would be amazed at how it makes you feel. But
the problem is I like to season my meats. Like, I can't just cook them in butter and that be it.
You don't want to cook it in butter. You just want to cook it. You know, but I will tell you, Justin, one of the reasons why you like to season it, you've developed that palate.
Right.
You got to undevelop it. That's the whole point. Think about this. If the world went away today and all you had was fire and meat, could you survive? Absolutely, you could survive. Just like our ancestors did. We've developed these tastes. Oh, I want a butter, a garlic herb butter sauce. You know, I want whatever. You know, it's just like, oh my God, you know, do I have to have all that? No, you don't have to have it, because that's what you've developed. And it's just as easy to undevelop.
Yeah, and sugar has got to be the most addictive drug there is on this planet right now.
Speaking of that, I don't have the data, but speaking of that, one of the things too that I've learned is, back in the 50s, Ansel Keys was a huge proponent and started the study, and he actually went to work for, and I'm not 100% about this, but I'll get you there. You go look him up. He was one of the father of the USDA food pyramid, which has fruits and veggies and sugars and all this other kind of stuff in it. And what was so interesting is there was some data that now they've unveiled everything and unlocked it. You can go out there and research it. Is the sugar industry lobbied to find people that would give them the thumbs up that their product is good? And there is research that shows, and Anthony Chaffee's got it. I was reading it. I was like stunned. Actual freaking documentation from corporate of yesteryear that showed sugar was dangerous for overconsumption and very addictive, but they paid him equivalent of $50,000 to keep his mouth shut and to put his stamp of approval on it, and he accepted it.
I've heard that the food pyramid was like a whole scam too.
Yeah, it truly is. And what's so sad is we all have heard, and like I could tell you, I guarantee both of you were the same way. The moment you hear about carnivore, and then I could tell by both of you, and I said you need to eat a stick of butter a day, both of you kind of rinse back, because first thing in your mind was all that fat cannot be good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I see myself.
Just butter. That's a lot of butter.
Is true.
Yeah. Well, like I know that there's good fats and bad fats. And I know that having fat is an important part of the actual diet or what you should have as a diet. But, sticks of butter. Like my daughter, will take packets of butter.
Think about what you just said. It's an important part of your diet.
Yeah.
You still minimized it. What if it was the most important aspect of your diet?
That would be news to me.
Right, right. And that's what I'm getting at is what you'll find with high-fat carnivore and even like Sean Baker doing what he's doing, Anthony Chaffee and Kelly Hogan and everybody. I mean, Dr. Barry, all of them. I'm dropping all these names because these guys aren't pulling any punches. They're bringing statistics. They're bringing everything into play and going, look, this shit works.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't ignore it anymore. And the powers that be out there in left field, and I don't mean the left, I mean left field as in, man, we've been snowed on the food pyramid and sugar and all this kind of stuff. We've been told all this stuff and we've been programmed, this is what we should be doing. And when we try to break away from that mold, it's just like, I'm telling you, the best explanation for this whole thing, instead of calling it the Matrix, it needs to be the Sugar X. I mean, that's the way I feel. It's like it's that fucked up.
House is getting a little chaotic right now. Don't mind my distraction. Wife and kids just got home. Dogs are going crazy. Apologies for my distraction.
Yeah, I heard that a little
bit. We can't hear anything.
I heard it a little bit.
The one outside the door is going right now. So my apologies. This is why we need our own studio, guys. This is why we need our own studio.
There you go. But that's so interesting because I would tell you, for y'all getting your podcast up, I would almost bet you start dropping your stuff. You're on YouTube and multiple platforms. But the reality is I can see one day soon you're going to have one. Those guys want to get the message out. They'll be a guest.
I would love that.
They would do it in a heartbeat because, look, at the end of the day, here's what I can tell. And this is kind of the way you got to look at it. We've been eating the food pyramid for how many years?
How many decades? Since I was a kid, to use a term that's become kind of popular right now.
What's that?
They indoctrinated it into the schools when we were younger. Like, it was pushed on us.
But did it change a little bit since then?
Yeah,
they changed three or four times since we were in grade school.
They made a pie chart. It's like, it's no longer, it's a pie chart. And it's still loaded with freaking fruits and veggies. I'm not saying everybody needs to eat carnivore. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, do we really need to eat what's on a pie chart? Right? Do we need that kind of stuff? And what these guys are proving is for a great segment of the population, you don't need it.
Yeah, I feel like fiber. Like it's in our nature to be carnivores,
dude. The nature, both of you are sporting it right now. Well, I am. I got more damn gray in me, but you're sporting it right now.
Catching
there was
up. Don't
a time
worry.
That we got out, we hunted game. We didn't. Yeah. If we did any hunt, any gathering hunt, you know, like what do they call that? The shit.
Foraging?
Foraging. Yeah. The people that foraged were the people that couldn't hunt.
Yeah.
Dead serious. And but they got the prize guy was the guy or the part of the tribe that went out, got the deer, got the boar, got whatever, the game, and brought it back into the camp, and that's what they feasted on.
Yeah.
Right? And it's freaking crazy when you look back. And what I was going to say real quick about, because my mind goes crazy and I keep on track. The food pyramid was instituted how long ago? I mean, decades. right? I'm 57. I remember it. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's been 50 plus years that it's been out there, you know, as the food pyramid. All I'm saying is when you put correlation to it, has it, by eating that food pyramid, has our population got healthier or has it got worse?
As far as I can tell, worse.
Sure it is. It's very
way worse.
You know how many people, metabolic syndrome, there's a big video out there, talks about metabolic syndrome and the health of the population. And Corey, I can't remember the actual, you can look up percent of the population that's metabolically unstable, and it's like 90%. 93, I think. It's scary that when you look at our population, the reality is we're fucked. No pun intended. We are metabolic, because insulin resistance and metabolically unstable is what leads to all your diseases.
Yeah. Well, and all the processed foods and all the synthetic foods that we're getting pushed down our throats nowadays does not help us at all. And I feel like that's a United States thing too. You ever see the food labels between the United States and the UK though, like England?
Yeah.
Like you could have the same product and the ingredient label is completely different.
Yeah, I'll give you that. There are some things that they definitely change in the UK, but you know, that these gallbladder issues kind of led me down this path because we're unwell for most part of this, that have these gallbladder issues and digestive issues. People in the UK have just as many health and digestive issues as we do. They're not healthier.
Right.
Right. So it's still going to process food. If it's in a fucking box, leave it on the shelf. If it's got saran wrap around it or plastic around it, don't buy it. If it's fucking meat, or, you know, hey, I'd even go as far as if you want to have veggies and you can eat veggies, they got to be fresh.
Yep. Support local farmers in both of those aspects and local gardeners. Oh, you know, you see a farm stand on the side of the road.
Yeah. I got my ass handed to me on social media a while back because I love freaking meat, obviously. And so I open up my freezer and I've got, 375 pounds of beef frozen, you know. And I'm like, look at this, guys. Eat local. I went to a local farmer, called him, chatted with him. Yep, let's make a deal. And I got a hell of a lot cheaper price.
Oh, yeah. And you know where the meat came from at that point.
Absolutely. I drove by every day and saw that those four little legs out there. I know what they're eating. And and it's cheaper. But I got it in bulk. But the reality is I've got plenty of that. And here's the deal. I don't care who you are. You probably know somebody who's got either a smaller farm or some type of sustainable way of doing it. Or they know someone. I guarantee you start talking, you'll find somebody within two or three conversations that actually can provide you with locally sourced beef that's pretty decent. Right?
Here we got Faye Cavis in chat here asking a question for you. She says, the processed and sugar marketing is mad in the UK. The advertisements are constant processed crap. What's the best way to increase good fats, buddy? Because carnivore is all good apart. I don't know what that says. FRM from LM, constipated again. And I've gotten a rut having same meats like steak and chicken.
Yeah.
So she's looking for something new.
Butter. Now, here's what I will tell you. If you can't eat butter, and this is another way to add fats to the diet that I do. I love to. Obviously, I've got my own in the freezer, but I still do it to this day. Go down to your local butcher. I want trimmings. The steak trimmings. Give me the fat off of a ribeye that they've trimmed off and, oh, they don't want that. We want to sell them that red meat. They'll trim that fat off and they discard it. A lot of them will do it. They'll feed it to other things. They'll send it to some type of rendering. But the reality is while it's cold and it's being trimmed off the carcass, it's good for you. Take that. So there's days that I get those renderings. I'll get 20 pounds of renderings for $10, you know, and I throw it in the freezer and I'll take out, you know, a little bit of fat, slice it, throw it in the freaking air fryer for a few minutes, flip it over, and it's nothing but it is the good part of the ribeye that everybody kind of, I guarantee you, if you both like me, you've taken a bite of ribeye somewhere and went, oh my God, that's just so freaking good. That's the fat.
I was going to ask you, man, I'm glad you went into how you prepare, because I was going to ask you how you prepare just like a chunk of fat.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that. In the air fryer, huh?
Yeah, I did. I put it in the air fryer. You know, don't cook it a long time or it'll melt, but I cook it in the air fryer and then eat it. But butter, I eat it in out of the fridge. Just get a tablespoon of butter, you'll slice it off and go on about my day. I put that on my steaks as well, or on my roast, or whatever I'm having. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you the interesting thing I learned from all these guys, Dr. Sean Baker specifically, was I got me a sous vide machine. I didn't even know how to say the fucking word. I didn't even know what the hell it meant. But I take my roast or an inch and a half thick off this last beef. And I take the roast and sous vide them for 16, 17, maybe 18 hours. Pull them out, dry them off. Salt and slap that sucker in a red hot iron skillet for 2 minutes, 1 minute on each side, just crust it up. There's your steak, medium rare, ready to go. But it's a roast, but it eats like a steak because of the way it's already cooked. Freaking awesome stuff.
So what is that that you were talking, sous vide? What is that?
It's a water bath. So you take. And I had to learn, dude, I'm not no fucking expert.
I've never even heard the word.
Well, so here's what I did find. A lot of restaurants will use this type. So what you do is you take water and set it like 130 degrees, right? 133 is what I cook this roast at. So when you take and you vacuum seal a piece of meat, it's got to be a substantial piece. I mean, just a little ribeye won't take near as long. So there you go. Yeah, not that one. So sous vide is, I can tell you, you can go to YouTube and there's one called Sous Vide Everything. He's Guga Foods. He does a lot of that. So he's got a YouTube channel as well and multiple channels, but he teaches you how to sous vide. But all it is, you can buy it for $100 off of Amazon, a little wand, sticks in a pot. You put water in, you turn the wand on, it heats the water up to 133 degrees. You vacuum seal your meat, throw it in there, and you got to, obviously every meat cooks faster, slower. There's a time dependency depending on the thickness and all that, but also on, like, if you can do salmon that way, but it won't be near as hot and it won't be near as long. But again, what it does is it cooks the meat, all of the meat, at that 133 degree temperature. So when you're literally looking at that bag, it's all 133, it's all medium rare. Take it out, dry it off, throw some salt on it, throw it in the freaking pan and just char the hell out of it, crust it up. And then when it comes out, throw it on the salt, you know, re-salt it, and because it's a big chunk of meat, and you're good to go. But it cooks the whole thing at that design temperature. So you can't overcook it. You can't undercook it. If you like medium rare, cook it medium rare. If you like it medium well, move the temperature up a little bit. It's simple. It's like falling off. So what I learned are restaurants will take a big amount of their steaks, put them in their sous vide machines. Cause so then, like, have you ever wondered how some restaurants have your fucking steak ready in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That, because they literally take the steak out of the freaking sous vide, take the scissors, trim it off, take it out, dry it off. They put seasonings on it, throw it in a fucking pan or on the grill, grill it up. It goes on your plate. And you're like, God, this thing, look at this, man. From one side to the other, it's perfect. And it's like, it does. When you look at it, it's just like, it's the most perfect cut of meat ever cooked to perfection. And you can do roast. You can do anything you want. I never knew what the hell it was, but I saw Dr. Sean Baker do it. And what my big thing is, I'm sitting here with 375. Well, now I'm like 350 pounds of meat, but I've got a bunch of roasts. I love roasts, but I like a chew. right? I don't want my meat just to quote unquote fall apart. I want to chew to it like a ribeye stuff. And so, I mean, I want it to be tender, but I want to still have a chew to it. And I've eaten the steaks almost up, and I'm like, I need to conserve my steaks, but I need, and then I was looking at and ran across a couple YouTube videos from these guys that said, hey, you could take a roast and make it eat and cut just like a steak. And I'm like, well, no shit, it's fucking meat. I mean, it's just, it's coming off with a different part of the animal. And then I saw it and I'm like, oh, no way. And I saw more, I did a little bit more investigation, went to freaking Amazon for $99. I think it's 109 complete. Got a sous vide, brought it in, dropped it in a soup pot with water in it, put the freaking steak in it, turned it on, and 18 hours later, fried it up. And I was like, that's the best damn meat I've ever had in my life.
You were in love.
I will.
Love at first taste. Gotta love it.
But you have to mentally, you got to prepare that if I want something tomorrow, I got to start on it today.
So what does a normal take time? What does a normal day with your diet look like? Like, do you just do three normal meals a day? Do you do five?
I do two
meals a day? Do you do any kind of snacking in between?
I don't have water. I mean, I drink a shitload of water, but honest to God, guys, I eat 4, 5, maybe 6 eggs in the morning with 2 or 3 slices of bacon, or I don't use bacon anymore. I actually use pork belly.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have, it's not preservatives in it. Doesn't have any time. I mean, I can eat bacon. Don't get me wrong. We got a local coffee shop down the street, you know, from us. And I had bacon with the guys, sit around table and cure the world's ails, right? This morning over a cup of coffee and bacon and eggs and all that shit. Did that this morning. It's the only time I really have it. So I use pork belly because I can season it myself. Again, with just salt because it's not been processed. There's no nitrites and all that kind of stuff put into it. So I enjoy that a lot, you know. So that's my quote unquote, I break my fast usually around 10, 11 o'clock, and I have a steak or some type of meat. I'll have that around 4, 4:30, 5, and I'm done.
That's it. So just the two meals and you drink water throughout the day.
But I eat a lot of, like, my steak will be 6 ounces of meat. It'll be about 3 ounces of goat cheese crumbled up on top of that steak. It's got that tangy flavor, kind of like blue cheese on top of the steak. Yeah. That's good shit, but it's high in fat. I'll put butter on my steak. I'll put the goat cheese on it. And then I'll have maybe some ribeye fat. I'll put that on the plate and that's it. And if I don't have the ribeye fat cooked, my go-to is go get some hard butter and use that as a side. Telling you, it sounds gross only because our minds won't let us venture there. But if you really think about in the past when our ancestors were eating, they go after the liver, they go after the fat, right, to survive.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I'll tell you that one of the oddities that kind of wakes you up without waking you up if you pay attention to it. You ever watch the Alone series on Netflix?
Actually, no.
Dude, you guys are freaking gangster. Get out there and look at them. It's called Alone.
Alone on Netflix.
Okay,
you.
Where you would have, what's the reality show that Survivor? Right.
All right. Yeah.
Well, they pitch you against them. These guys are basically Alone. It's a History Channel that does it. Alone is, hey, Corey, Justin, Buddy, and 7 others. We're going to send you to Alaska. Each one of you get 2 square miles to roam around on. You can't venture over each other's camps. And whoever lives out here the longest without ringing the bell, you're the winner of $500,000.
That's pretty interesting.
I've seen the concept of the show. Yeah, I've seen the concept of it. I've never watched it, but I've seen the previews and stuff. Trailers.
Right. I mean, the whole idea. So it's not Alone. The people is not what I'm talking about. What they have to do, because they're in nature, right? They're, I mean, granted, a lot of it, I'm sure it's, it can't be scripted, but a lot of it, they're told you need to build a fire on this day and do this and carve this. And you got, I mean, fuck, you got to do something because you're just in the woods alone, right?
Yeah.
I could do it all freaking day long. I mean, I could live here forever. It wouldn't bother me. But the reality is animals, you're in their world. You're no longer top of the food chain. The reality is, especially in Alaska, you got grizzly bears that look at you like you're just a tasty fat morsel and I'm going to eat your ass. I mean, that's just the way it is. But what was so interesting is all the time that they're doing this, my wife and I, we binged this thing one day because we just got into it. Every time animals would step in to try to get, like, so let's just say one guy goes out and he kills, he just catches a bunch of fish, right? The animals can smell the fish and he hangs them in trees, but the animals like badgers and stuff like that, they don't go after the fish themselves, they're going after the fat. They will literally leave the flesh behind. I'm talking about in winter when they really need, they need calories and they need fuel. They go after the fat. They don't eat nothing but the fat. The meat's like the last thing they eat. And I was like, wait a minute. This is Mother Nature showing you how they work. Not saying that we're fat and sassy. We're not in that shape. But it's like, as a mammal, why do mammals do that? Because they know the best caloric source of, or the best source of calories and nutrition are fats.
Yeah.
And if I've got to survive, I'm going to eat the fat first, and then I'm going to go eat the flesh. And I'm like, what? Why? Right? When you start, it's just that inquisitive nature of us to ask questions. And I was, the more you start thinking about why would nature do that? Because that's where that the fat is where it's at.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's
a little catchphrase there.
The fat is where it's at.
Yeah, it's not a good catchphrase because the carnivore world, there's fucking t-shirts, there's everything with that. The fat is where it's at. Because it's what's really intriguing though is the more you stand back from it and you look at it and you understand how your body operates. Like if we all want to lose weight, we eat a high fat diet. What do we go into? We go into ketosis, which means our bodies are now burning ketones, which are far, far better for us, but it jumpstarts our system into utilizing its own fat sources.
Yeah. So we talked about the last time that you were on, we talked about the different diet fads and whatnot. And I was telling you that I had tried out the intermittent fasting diet.
Yeah. Right.
So I did that at the end of last year, and I actually did really well with it for quite a while. But it ended up getting to a point where during my fast in the morning, like I would fast until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. During that fasting period, I would end up getting so lightheaded by like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I found out after months of trying it that it wasn't really going to be something I could sustain.
Right.
So I then attempted somewhat of a carnivore diet. Like I didn't do as much research as I should have, and I couldn't stay as strict as I wanted to. And so it wasn't like all I was eating was meat. But instead of doing the fasting thing, I started to do every couple of hours have a little bit of meat. Like I would resort to jerky. So clearly it's got the sugar and the salt and all that extra stuff on it. But man, I tried kind of like a mini version of it.
It's got a ton of stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I found that out after I did that for a little while. I was like, God, there's a lot more in jerky than I thought.
But there's like no jerky there. Make your own.
I need to.
You know what's interesting is how easy it is? You can, again, YouTube, but I mean, you can go to a butcher and then say, look, I need you to slice me meat for jerky. Man, they put it on a freaking deal and slice that shit and hand it back to you. You literally can put it on a freaking rack in your oven and just dehydrate it.
Yeah, I did see something about that where you can do it in your own oven. I might try that. I might give that a shot.
Well, I mean, just it beats the hell out of taking all your preservative loaded prepackaged stuff, you know. But I would challenge both of you, if you really want to make a market, just see it, just try it. Just literally just say, look, But you got to get used to the butter. You got to get used to eating the higher fat content.
Yeah. Well, even when I did it in that half-assed kind of fashion that I did, I had cut sugars out as much as I could too. I mean, clearly aside from the jerky and stuff, but I hadn't felt that good in a while. Like I felt more energetic. I was able to do more. And that's when I kind of started questioning the fact that so many people say that the carnivore diet is bad or that red meat is bad for you. I was like, it doesn't seem like it is.
Right.
It seems like this is kind of working. And substituting meat for like the sugary snacks.
Yeah.
Instead of grabbing something sugary or something like that, I'd grab jerky or like little stew meat or something different. You know, like it really made me feel a lot better.
Yeah. And if you'd added fat back in, if you'd have known to do that, adding your fats back in, you would have been totally different. You'd have felt better.
Yeah. So I think I definitely need to look into it more. I think I want to give this a shot and see if this diet will work out for me. Now, the way that you do it, where you said you just have the two meals a day, is that a normal carnivore diet type of thing? Or is that just the way that you do it?
Well, it depends on, like, of course, you know, you look at somebody like Sean Baker. He's a big athlete. He eats one time a day. He'll eat like maybe a dozen eggs and a 2-pound steak. I mean, that's it. But he's learned what works for him, but he's athletic, and so he's pushing himself. So he burns a lot of that protein and a lot of that stuff. So people that, like myself, sedentary, sit behind a desk like this right here and do my thing, I've got to be mindful of what I'm doing. So hang on a minute, guys. I got to pause here.
Not a problem. So, Justin, is that anything that you've ever considered doing?
I don't know if I could cut cheese out.
Right. See, and that's the problem that I had when I tried it, is like I didn't go full carnivore. Like yes.
I need to step out just for a second. I'll be back in less than a minute.
You got it.
Be right back. Good.
So I didn't cut out everything else. It's just that I ended up, yeah. That's nice. Look, Justin's got his Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Tumblr as well, guys. I guess I'll take this moment to plug the merch store again. If you guys want to support the show, one of the best ways you can do that is to visit our merch store at streamlabs.com/NDT podcast/merch. You can get yourself a hoodie, a t-shirt, a tumbler, any number of things that's in there. It's pretty quick turnaround time as well. So that's one great way to support the show. Another great way to do so would be to share anything that you see from us, share our live videos, share the past broadcasts, any kind of content that we put out there, comment, like, leave reviews as well, guys. Leave a rating or review wherever you listen to the podcast. It helps more than you know. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show and hanging out with us. We really appreciate that. And Justin has stepped out to the side as well. So
I have.
Here I am again.
I'm still here.
All alone.
I'm still here.
Lonely. I'm so lonely.
Oh, stop that. YouTube would kick my ass if I smoked a cigarette.
You're right. YouTube would, Twitch would, everywhere else would. So yeah, I don't know how I would do without everything else. Like when I did
right, like I like my steak sauce. Yeah. I like my Montreal season. Like I like the seasoning.
Yeah, and now I don't
know. Maybe I won't go strict carnivore, but if I can season it, I'll do it.
Yeah, and I want to do a little more research and see if they do this carnivore diet along with like an intermittent fasting, because that's what it sounds like. Sean Baker does.
It sounds like it said what he's doing too.
Yeah. Well, but Buddy said that he eats in the morning. He eats his eggs in the morning. So I don't.
Yeah, but if you listen to the way he phrased it, it was he breaks his fast at 10.
Yeah.
And eats at 4, 5-ish. And not again until 10. So that's intermittent
fasting. I guess technically it is still fasting. Window.
I am intermittent fasting. I mean, that's the reality of it. I do intermittent fasting.
Yeah. Yeah. See, so if your window to eat is between like 10 and 4, 10 and 5, that does, yeah, I guess
that's that would still be. That works for me in my schedule. I don't start seeing clients until a little after 10. And then I go to 6. And so my quote unquote lunch is 4 o'clock and I'm eating a steak. You know,
you have a steak every day. Is that your dinner almost every day?
Pretty much. steak and a lot of fat, you know, some cheeses. I do eat cheese. I eat goat cheese and stuff
that. He eats cheese still, Justin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just,
I will tell you, Justin, one of the best things you'll find is your seasonings, just to make sure you don't have a lot of sugar in them. Most every seasoning packet you buy somewhere has got the read on the label. They're usually the first damn one or two things on the list. First two things are sugar. And it's
all right. I'll be right back. Hold on.
he's going to check out his
monitor. Check my favorite one.
Unless you're going after Dano's. Dano's does not. They got a seasoning that is, they're the bomb. He's got three of them. He's got a chipotle, a spicy, and then he's got just a regular herbal. And none of his have sugars in them or no MSG either. And they're freaking awesome.
It's the A1 for us.
I might be able to do this Montreal steak one.
Now, Montreal is just, it is black. It's just black pepper, salt, and garlic.
Yeah, and a little paprika.
Is it Montreal seasoning?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Some of the best steak that I've ever had had just been cooked with salt and butter, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just salt and butter.
Absolutely.
And I could deal with that. The one thing I don't like, unless it's cooked perfectly, I love to have my A1 steak sauce.
I might be able to do this. I can use my Montreal. I can use my everything bagel seasoning. I'm good.
No, because everything but bagel is coming from fucking seeds.
I like seeds though. They're not terrible.
Yeah, they are. They come from a plant. They're trying to kill you.
That's true.
That's the mindset you have to look at.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's just now. Here's the deal: does it work for everybody? Obviously, it doesn't, because
right.
It depends on how you're going, and it depends on how you. I can tell you, I've seen carnivores and ketovores that literally eat 3-4 times a day, nibble all along, and there's others that they found that they want one today, and then there, anything in between. You know, people, I don't like fish. I don't like, you know, red meat. Whatever you want to do, find it. But the whole lot, and it's just like, and that's what I was saying about Kelly Hogan when she was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, how do I do this, Doc? And he's like, just eat meat. And she, I don't have steak money. I don't have roast money. I've got McDonald's money. Well, go to McDonald's and buy a pound of freaking patties with cheese on them. And it's American cheese. It's not the best ever. But if you take it in context with what you're eliminating, all the other junk, your sugars and carbs and starches, all of a sudden it changes the whole damn game.
Yeah, because I think eliminating the sugars is huge.
But it's a change, and it's getting rid of the carbs and the sugars and the starches.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're right. Like the hardest part about doing a strict carnivore diet where you're eating steak every day is definitely the price tag. But like we discussed already, the way to alleviate that is to buy local. You buy half a cow, half a pig, whatever it is you need to do. Buy chicken meat locally. It's generally cheaper than the grocery store. They're not pumped full of the
hormones
and that's the word I was looking for exactly. Yeah. They're not pumped full of hormones, and you know where it's coming from. The meat in the grocery store, you don't always know where it's coming from.
Right, but. And here's the big but. Even if that's all you did was go down to your grocery store, went to your CVS or went to Kroger or Albertsons, and it doesn't matter. Go to your local grocery store, and if all you did was not shop the inside aisles and you just shop the meat, it's still going to be better than what you were doing.
Yeah. Sure. So yeah, I fully believe that.
Take it in tranches. I mean, get rid of the preservatives first. Get rid of the starches and sugars first. And then go to work on how do you, it's like, okay, my ultimate end goal is I want grass-fed, grass-finished, hormone-free. Lay it out there. Whatever you want. That's the end goal. But I'm fucking over here. How do I start? You just start. Right? Which is, I can't afford all that shit over here. Then start where you can start, which is in the mindset, anything coming from a plant is not good for me. Therefore, I'm just going to eat carnivore, which is a meat. Maybe you live in the Pacific Northwest. I can tell you, they don't have a lot of fucking meat out there, but they got a shitload of some of the best damn salmon and sockeye and all this other shit, no trout ever. Eat that. But again, it's eliminating your starches, processed foods, your preservatives, and your, you know, all your sugars out of your diet. Because again, if you go back and look at just how detrimental sugar is to the human body, here's another small fact. You can eat, and this is what I found out with me. I was eating major meat, just like Sean Baker was doing, major, like two steaks a day, plus my eggs. I didn't feel well. And I had plateaued. I'd got down to 240 pounds, and I'm like, I need to go on down to 220, and I couldn't get there. And I found myself still. So here was my tattletale. You know what a CGM is? It's a continuous glucose monitor. You've seen them on people. There'll be a little thing on the back.
Okay.
That is an app on your phone, and it continuously reads your blood glucose. Right? So it gives you, you eat a ear of corn, you can watch what it does to your blood sugar. Does it move it at all? Maybe. Eat sushi. Yep, goes way high on me. Rice, because of what it does. Eat a candy bar. Yep, you can watch what happens. It's so you're monitoring. Well, I had, my wife did it and I did it. And in the middle of my blood glucose, it was going up. Like way up. And I'm like, all I fucking ate was a steak. There is a process in the human body called gluconeogenesis. Gluconeogenesis is when the liver gets too much protein and it's like, I can't use all this energy. I'm going to convert it to sugar and we're going to store it. So the liver itself runs a process by which it can get rid of all that protein. And so the body can make glucose when it needs to out of its own system. You don't need to feed it any kind of glucose. It can do its own. And it was like, I was fascinated going like, wait a minute. I've been told you need glucose in order to survive. And it's like, yeah, that's what the body needs. That's what it runs off of until you push it into ketosis. And then when it does need glucose, it'll make its own.
Yeah.
But if you eat too much protein, which is where I was, all of a sudden my protein was pushing like a pound a day or 2 pounds a day. I'm down half by half that and doing so much better. But what I found was for myself, and there's a ton of people out there experiencing this on the real carnivore diet. They're eating too much protein and the protein's not being converted correctly in the liver. And the liver makes it into sugar and pushes so your insulin resistance goes up when you eat meat, when you eat too much meat. And it's like, son of a bitch, but fat won't touch your glucose or your insulin resistance. So again, you got to have more fat. And I was like, I was fascinated. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. No wonder there'll be people get on a true carnivore diet and be like, hey, I'm trying to follow Sean Baker and Anthony Chaffee, and I can't do what they're doing. I feel like shit. Well, maybe that's why going back and now coming back and looking at your DNA, now we see why. You don't need all that protein. You need a moderate protein diet, but you need a high-fat diet. And it's just fascinating. I'm like, son of a bitch. I'm telling you, the steaks.
That sounds weird to hear a high-fat diet.
Dude, I'm telling you, weird. It just freaks you out because we've been programmed all our lives that fat is bad.
Yeah, what it comes down to is it's the same with a lot of things in life. With this whole programming thing, we're told certain things are good for us, and we need to do things a certain way. And what it all comes down to is people trying to sell us shit.
Oh,
basically, at the end of the day, it's the government and companies trying to sell us certain products by telling us this is the way it has to be.
Absolutely.
But on another note, a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that with intermittent fasting, it's not about keeping yourself from eating. It's not just letting your body break down the food during your fasting period. It has a lot to do with glucose and insulin. It has to do with insulin production. So
absolutely right. And if you, but if you look at your insulin, what's insulin doing when you're eating normal? What's it doing when you're not eating at all? Yeah. Again, I would tell everybody, go find you a company. I'm not going to recommend them because I know that Dexcom is one of them, and I know I can't remember the other one. I think it's starts with an A. What's the other pharmaceutical company? But anyway, they have the CGMs. But there's a myriad of companies out there that you can get an app and you can use and all this other kind of stuff. My wife and I signed up under NutriSense. I think Dexcom's a little bit different reader, but nevertheless, you're still getting a continuous glucose monitor to monitor what your body does in response to foods, period.
Right.
And you eat a cookie, we expect it to go up. But what's interesting, this is the fallacy that hurts a lot of people. You can drink a diet soda and it won't move it at all. So the soda company looks at that and goes, aha, see, that's, yeah, but you're still drinking a lot of freaking chemicals and additives and stuff like that you don't really need. But nevertheless, they've said what they said was, this will not hurt your glycemic index. It won't hurt your glucose, and it won't. It won't touch it, but you still get that sweet taste. However, and to that, what's interesting is the research also shows that when you eat something sweet, tasting, not sweet, tasting, your pancreas will fire just like it normally does, and your body anticipates where's it at. And exactly. When you don't eat something sweet, your body goes to saying, hey, I tasted it, where's it at?
Yep.
And then it gets confused.
Comes from. Yeah, I read that in the book Delay, Don't Deny when I started my intermittent fasting.
Oh, there you go.
Where even if you taste something sweet, your body starts that insulin production, whether you are ingesting sugar or not.
Right.
It starts it up.
Wouldn't it be interesting if you could actually have an insulin monitor to see your body's insulin resistance, move that number around? Because, you know, you can see it. You could say, oh, I need 6 ounces of meat a day or at a serving, not, you know. And or I need 10 or I need 12 or whatever. I know we're talking about dialing in, and that's not the perfect world. The perfect world was we went out and killed an animal and ate till we were full, right? But if you think about it, how many of us, though, just like I'm gonna pick on Justin a minute ago, is how many of us will get a craving and I gotta have this spice on my meat in order to eat. Reality is, we all are in that position to some extent until we learn not to be. Because in a real world, you wouldn't even have salt to rely on, right? I mean, in nature, you wouldn't have it unless you happen to live by the ocean and you figured out how to farm it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Is all of a sudden you're like, man, how do I get this mineral that's so tasty? Yeah. You know, wildlife, most deer and most everything all need some type of sodium. They find natural salt licks. You've heard that terminology. So deer will find them there's ground somewhere where salt's permeating out of the ground. They go out and lick on the ground because that's where their salt comes from, you know, or, you know, rocks on the beach and they lick the salt off of them and stuff like that. I'm just saying nature has a really unique way of finding out what it needs. We don't have that because we run to Walmart.
Yep.
And we can get anything we want at any time, you know. And another portion that's really interesting, when it talks about plants and stuff, if you think about it, you guys are in the Northeast, so you get a whole different set of vegetables and fruits than I do down here in the South.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I could sit there and go, hey man, I'm gonna send y'all a mango, and you guys would be like, hell, what the hell is this? But it's so tasty. Well, now I go to Walmart and buy it where your body's never been used to that. Right.
Yeah.
And then we got greenhouse tomatoes and we got greenhouse produce everywhere. So where you're talking about naturally, locally sourced. Well, there comes a time in the fall that you shouldn't be eating fruits other than apples, pumpkins, you know, cranberries. I'm just saying, when you really think about what's actually in y'all's neck of the woods for fruit in the fall, it's not what it is in the spring.
Yep.
But we don't eat that way.
right? Because we have access to all of it from all over.
Right. We eat what we want to eat, when we want to eat it, where we want to eat it, and be damned about it. But we don't go back local.
The whole locally sourced thing and this whole conversation makes me think of honey and bees and shit like that, where if you have really bad allergies, they tell you get some locally sourced honey because that'll help with your allergies. Yes. Because the bees have been collecting the pollen from that area.
Right.
And it's just your body knows what it needs.
Right. So a lot of time it's honey from you, local stuff. But if you sent me honey from you or vice versa, mm-hmm. it's tasty and it's sugary, but that's it. Yep, it wouldn't do me a damn bit of good.
Right. And then talking about the natural diets and, you know, how we were meant to live based on how we're living right now made me think of the Liver King. Have you ever heard of Liver King?
Oh, man.
What do you think of this guy?
I think he juices.
I've heard that he's
unnatural, man. There is no fucking way.
Yeah. Eating nothing but like meat and organs. And
I think he's built all natural shit. Fortune on lies.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yep.
Yeah. That's a very unnatural body.
Yeah.
He may eat the way he says he does. Even if you're
eating natural, man.
Yeah. But he eats that way now. But did he always? Right. What got his body to that position to where he can sit there today and say, hey, I don't juice. I don't do this. I don't do that. I eat only organ meats. The other day I saw him eating a freaking testicle, for crying out loud. You know?
I wonder if all that's just for the camera too, though. Just a show.
Dude, I sure as hell hope so. Cause one of these days I don't give a damn how bad I get. I'm not gnawing on some damn animal's testicles. Unless it's fried, because I will say that. I'll put it in the freaking fryer.
Get a hold of Joe Rogan.
What's going on next weekend?
Get a hold of Joe Rogan. It's time for Fear Factor to come back, apparently.
Nah, hell, we got a festival literally 20 miles away from me, 20 minutes away from me, to have the Ozark Mountain Oysters Testicle Festival.
Oh, that's right. I've heard about this. They call them the Ozark Mountain Oysters.
Yeah.
Where have I heard about this before?
Mountain oysters have been out there forever, and what the other?
I've always heard them called the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, they are, but here, because we're in the Ozarks, they have the Ozark Mountain oysters, and it is, so they're having that festival, Testicle Festival, that's coming up. So it's like, you know, take all your buddies down. I guarantee there's one near you. I guarantee they're out there. It's all the rage. Fry them suckers up. They're just a muscle. Eat them.
Unbelievable.
I can't eat them raw though, like Liver King does. Sorry. Uh-uh. I just can't do it.
No, I don't think I could do anything like Liver King does, man.
I do.
Doing the carnivore diet's one thing, but holy shit. That's like paleo diet to the extreme.
Well, it's paleo, you still end up with your fruits and veggies in there.
Yeah.
And your grains. So that's another thing. If it's grains, I'm telling you, when you really think about and I know we're not, but we are. We're all mammals. And I'll never forget my veterinarian telling me, and then my nutritionist reminded me years ago. He said, if you want to make an animal fat, what do you feed it?
Sugar.
No. No, you're not going to feed an animal sugar. What are you going to feed your animal? Huh? You feed them corn. You feed them wheat. You feed them soybeans. You feed them grains. So take those grains and put them in a loaf of bread, and that's what we're eating.
Yeah. So Carol in chat asked us, so am I better off with local honey than using Manuka honey that comes from New Zealand? I would always say yes.
I'd say yes, but Manuka is a whole different beast when it comes to honeys. There is a ton of research on Manuka honey, but I will tell you, a little jar of local honey is what? $8?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a nice 3-pound jar for $20 a few weeks ago.
Manuka will be four times or five times that.
Yeah.
For price a little wise, jar.
What's the difference?
Yeah, see, I've never heard of Manuka honey.
You gotta go look it up. It's how the bees process, and the certain strain of bees that do this, and the honey is so much stronger. In fact, Manuka honey looks cloudy and real thick. It does not look like traditional honey. It's really weird looking stuff. It almost looks like a paste.
The local honey, I would suggest it just for, like, if you really deal with allergies on a yearly basis, I would definitely suggest that. It's crazy because the one guy I get my honey from, I work with this guy, he's got a ton of hives, and the bees from different hives produce different color of honey based on what they're pollinating, right? Yeah. So the one we got was like a black honey, but he said he's got some that have made like a pink honey. He doesn't know exactly what they're pollinating or what kind of flowers they've been on, but it's creating pink honey. So all this local honey, it's gonna help with your allergies and shit like that. So
yeah, it's cool stuff. When you let nature really do what she's supposed to do, she's pretty fucking awesome, to be honest.
Yeah.
Manuka honey looks a lot like a peanut butter almost.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it does not look like what you and I would look at traditional honey, where you can look at it, it's golden. It doesn't look that way. It looks really weird. But it's supposed to be like high end, like the antibiotic factor. Supposed to be much, much higher. In fact, if you look at the Manuka, if I'm not mistaken, I could be, but I think they actually apply it to wounds.
Yeah.
The Manuka honey, they actually apply it to wounds as an antiseptic.
My wife does that with the local honey she gets here. She won't do it with store-bought, but she does it with some of the local honey that we bought. She's put it on cuts and stuff on herself and on our kids. And
look at you guys going carnivore. Heals up overnight. Man, you're going beast mode already. You just got to eat that way.
Yeah. We've got our own hives or our own hive now, too. She wants to expand eventually, but she's very much into that.
That's cool shit. It really is. Watch nature do what she needs to do. So cool.
Yeah, it is definitely cool. All right, so I had a lot of fun with this conversation. I learned a lot of stuff. That what was it? That company, the DNA company. Does that company do kind of like the kits that we discussed the last time you were on?
They do. They do identical. I say identical. You saliva kit, send it in. There's two ways of doing it. You can go buy it right now on DNAcompany.com. You can go there and $399, you can get your DNA run.
And then that'll cover everything.
That covers what they call the retail sector. So you'll get a really nice presentation. It tells you about your body. If you want the deep dive, you got to go through a practitioner like myself that's licensed or certified rather. And that includes the deeper dive and to be able to explain actually what's going on internally. And that then, like for myself, it takes me about 2.5 to 3 hours to go through that test, and it takes me about another hour to give it to you to understand it, to be able, because you're going to get a much deeper dive on that part of it. So I have my own markup that I put on it for my time. And so you can buy the test. What I do is generally if somebody's going to use me, they just go to my website, gallbladderguru.com, message me. We can go that route. It didn't matter. On this note, I was going to tell you, if anybody wants, you know, just put together a code. I'll put together a code for you guys. So NGT, I'll do NGD20, take 20% off the test.
Okay. So, all right. So before we wrap up, why don't you let everybody know where they can follow you, where they can contact you? I know you just kind of went over it real quick. Yeah. But I know it's the Gallbladder Guru over on YouTube, correct?
That Gallbladder Guru, if you just search Gallbladder Guru, you'll find me on Facebook. You'll find my page on Facebook. You'll find our gallbladder. We got two groups, a diet group and our regular support group. That's for gallbladder and gallstone stuff. My client page is gallbladderguru.com. And you can get to me there and bookings and, you know, all these other kind of packages and stuff like that. So,
okay. One more question for you.
I'm on Instagram. I don't do a whole hell of a lot there yet. TikTok, I'm there too. It's Buddy Black FDN. You know, Perfect. So I'm trying to get it all put together, but man, it's a busy,
it's a lot of work, isn't it?
Social media.
It's a lot of work to keep up with all of it. Faye wants to know, just to confirm what you said, buddy, when I'm eating all this meat and protein, is it bad if I don't have a large amount of fats? Yeah. I eat a bit, but I struggle getting fats down because of GERD and hernia.
Because the protein is creating too much. She needs more fats. and different types of fat. So butter may not be her friend. She may have to look at going, okay, let's try butter. Okay, butter gives me heartburn. Okay, back off of the butter, up animal fat. You got to get a good fat in. So go that route until you get that calmed down to where your body's more, you know, more balanced.
Okay.
I'm that way. So it's just, that's why I love the goat cheese.
Yeah.
Because I could get fats in that way by being able to implement. Plus it makes meat taste even tastier.
that's hard to do, but it's good.
Oh yeah.
It's hard to make meat taste even tastier because it is just that's like perfect diet to me.
But see, when your mindset, Corey, is going like that, that tells you what your body really wants.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I believe that, man. Buddy, thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody who is watching this live, just know we do put out all of our episodes on audio platforms as well. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all of those of you who are listening to the audio version. We are live every week. We alternate Saturdays and Thursdays. So the next episode will be this upcoming Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then, like I said, we alternate. The next one will be Saturday, Thursday, until we decide otherwise.
It's going to stay like that for a while.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But that's when we are on. That is where you can find us. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today, hanging out with us, and we will see you on Thursday.
Sounds good. All right, guys.
Later.
Proud of you.
Thanks, man. Be all good, right, buddy.
Later.
All right, y'all, it's the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast.